Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hi.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about Jack's top land investor tips. Jack is me.
Huh.
Hey, before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Stacy asks, buying land from the MLS is no longer feasible in my area. I know you guys send offers, right? I know you guys send offers out to owners and hope for the best. What happens when this is no longer working for you? What then? That's hilarious. I don't think it's going to end, but okay.
Oh my gosh. Right. So I guess we agree on this, Jill.
Totally.
I don't think it's going to. 148 million properties out there in this country anyway. Mm-hmm. And RealQuest is constantly working on different ways in different countries to create world-class data like they have in the U.S. here. So I'm mm-hmm. not sure that sending offers out to owners is ever really going to go out of style. Do you think, Jill?
Only if the mail stops, but then we'll have another workaround. So it's like that won't happen anyway. So what I have a funny comment, though, too, is I love how she says the MLS is not working in her area. I don't think MLS is working in most areas.
Thank you.
So
when did it work? When does MLS really ever work?
It did back when there were no other options, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You had no other way to find, but even then you could have been mailing letters and offers.
I think so too, Joe.
We just didn't have the data that we have today and the way to sort it and scrub it and really fine tune it to exactly what we want. I could have, 20 years ago, sprayed the neighborhood like Luke says, or you say,
It conjures up such a funny image, spraying the neighborhood.
Exactly. I could have just sprayed the whole neighborhood and seen what comes back. But, nowadays we can get real specific. So, man.
Remember we used to have that slogan or one of that saying called get there first?
Yeah.
So with the MLS, somebody else got there before you. As an investor, mm-hmm. a realtor got there first. They started talking to the owner first and convinced them that their property is probably worth more than it is. Or God knows what they convinced them of.
Do you know what's funny? I am positive that right now today, there are tons of people that have alerts on their phones and their computers that every time a listing pops in the MLS, they get a notice because they want to try to jump on it. And you and I know that that's just not the how you should be doing it.
I am honestly one of those people.
Why do you want to? You just want to see it for pricing purposes, don't you?
So here's what my little sister, as you know, Jill, but listeners may or may not know. Mm-hmm. She's a very successful realtor in northern Michigan, way northern Michigan. And so there's a lot of land up there, more than like the developed areas in the southern part of the state. So one time, this is like 2 years ago, I'm talking to her and we're talking because she doesn't understand this land thing. She never will. She's just not set up that way. She's a great real estate agent, though. And so she set me up in her system. I said, I want 2.5 to 5 acres. I want it for $1,000 or less. And it needs to have some kind of water element to it as an attribute, like you can see the water or it's close by or something. And so like once a month, I get my phone pings and some property goes into the MLS like that and it goes out in 20 seconds later. So I'm not sure the MLS was ever. Even in the worst of times, I was getting pinged like that. Mm-hmm. And never did a deal. I never got there fast enough to get it. But what that tells me is this. There's willing sellers for awesome prices for great property and that you need to get there first.
Right. So what are you using the pings for? I guess that's my question.
To confirm what I just said.
Thank you.
To myself, I'm not doing it to do deals. I'm confirming it that, yep, northern Michigan, and you can do this anywhere in the country.
There you go.
Northern Michigan is a place to buy property. I just need to get there first. So letters need to go out. Offers need to go out.
So we're saying the same thing. That makes sense.
Totally.
You have the pings just to kind of go, oh, wow, good that you look at it like, oh, wow, nice job. That guy got that deal. Awesome. Because you're the one representing that person or whatever it is. So That's how you use it, right? Not like, oh, I'm going to call that guy and take it off his hands.
Yes. No, you're 100% right. I don't care about that piece of property specifically.
Thank you.
All it is a confirmation of the area, of that people in that area, you know, my dream list of how to buy property there, it exists. All I need to do is send offers out.
Exactly. So the answer to the question is this, when this is no longer working, I don't see it ever going away. I mean,
I agree.
I really, this is one of those things that the data is the data is the data. That's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe how we process it will change and how we get offers to people might change.
Right.
We might be someday texting these offers to people. You know, who knows how we're all operating, but the gist of it's not going to change.
That's why I didn't name one of the mail company. That's why I named the company Offers to Owners, because we don't know the medium. Like click to mail, I don't think that's going to be around for a while, forever. Right. And yellow letters, I don't think that's going to be around.
It's true.
But some way, you nailed it. There's always, making offers to people will never go out of style.
Exactly.
So it's a long way to answer that, but...
Thank you.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landacademy.com. Today's topic, Jack's top land investor tips.
Okay, can I take the reins and
ask
please,
you? Yes, please, because this is your show. Absolutely.
This is?
Yeah.
This is my show, which is your show.
You designed the show, so yeah.
I did. I came up with these topics last week because this is one of the things that I wanted to cover because this is important. I think everyone listening would love to know what are your top land investor tips, whether you're new, old, you know, been in this for business for a while or brand new. We all want to know. So tell us, please, Jack.
Absolutely. So these tips are not, they're not specific to new people. In fact, the people who have implemented these, there are three or four tips here that are imperative. They're absolutely imperative, these three or four tips. And I've never seen anyone do well in land investing without doing these three or four things. And it doesn't apply to just new people. It applies to really seasoned people. In fact, to finish the thought, the people that have done the best in our group since we started are people who are well seasoned, and they come to us with a bunch of deals under their belt, but they just need to hone their skills in specifically. So tip number one is learn to use data to generate undervalued deals. I don't care where you are in your career. This is super important. Learn to use data first. Jill, how we get questions constantly like, how long does it take to turn my first deal? How much money do I need? There's a lot of really similar questions. I say there's only one real answer to all those types of questions. Forget the questions. Learn to use data first. Understand that, you know, understand what an assessor's database is, how to use it, how to price property, really manipulate data to generate undervalued deals, and you will feed your family for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one deal, or the number one tip.
Love it.
Shall we go on?
Yes.
You just want the whole meat of this, right?
I do. I'm like, okay, give me more, give me more. No, yeah, it's all good.
Number two, and you should do this, all these things simultaneously. While you're learning to use data, put yourself in a group of people that are way more experienced than you are, so that when you do generate these deals with this data and you understand how to use it and what to do, these people are way more experienced than you. They're going to show you what to do with these deals when you these undervalued pieces of real estate when they come up.
Wait a minute. Won't this be embarrassing if I'm brand new and they're so far ahead of me? No, I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
So
I like it.
So I'm brand new. I don't want to sound like an idiot. What do you mean? You want me to hang out with these people?
Yeah, hang out and be an idiot.
All right.
These people were all idiots too, not that long ago. Me included.
Maybe still are.
I've never really graduated from that status.
Yeah, they might still be idiots. Just kidding. They stumbled into something. I don't know. No. All right. So, okay. Even if I don't know the lingo and I don't know the terms and I really don't know what I'm doing, Jack, it's okay to do this?
Yep.
Okay.
You know, and if these people that are, you know, these experienced group of people that I'm talking about everybody in Success Plan, by the way, for us anyway, and you and I, Jill, I'm going to use an example at the end of this of a deal that you and I are doing with somebody who absolutely followed these steps and who's pretty much brand new at this, and he's going to make a ton of money here in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
He's from New York. You know who I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then number three is establish a niche. Every single person I know that is a land investor has somehow taken, here, and I'll give you a few examples in a second, has somehow taken these basic concepts like understanding data, getting offers in front of owners, and then learning from people who are way more experienced, and they've found their little niche. Here's an example. There's a person in our group who is a former commissioner, a lifelong career commissioner of a county, who loves the idea of sending offers. And he's taken that little niche, his little understanding of that county and the surrounding counties, and used it in that state in his own way. He didn't copy exactly what we said. He took all the basic concepts and the relationships that he already has, and he's killing it now. Here's another example about establishing a niche. Same thing. This guy has a long history. He's a young guy, but he's got a relatively long, years-wise, long history with real auction, like live auction companies, real estate companies. And so now he's buying their real estate using these concepts he's in our group.
Why is it important to have a niche? What if I just accept every offer that comes to me?
You mean
I'm being devil's advocate again.
No, I understand. Like, what do you mean accept every offer? Like as an acquisition person?
Right. Why should I have a niche? Why shouldn't I do an apartment building and then a piece of land and something over here and over there?
Yeah, I see what you mean. So, yeah, you can't. You could. I don't know anybody who's successful who does all kinds of deals like that. You have to specialize in something.
That's what I was just going to say. You'll never get to know one thing. You'll be running around trying to learn this and learn that. And when you just, you and I have found so many times, you said this so often, that your niche will find you. Mm-hmm. You will find that, oh man, I just realized nobody else knows how to do X and I just figured it out. So boy, am I going to make the most of this, you know?
Exactly. So, I mean, our group, as you know, Joe, is packed full of people. We're all land investors, but it's packed full of people who have taken this basic stuff, the basic three-step process: get data, send offers out, offers come back signed, you negotiate deals, and you resell them. They've taken that concept they all arrived to us with some stuff, with some type of concept of real estate investment. They applied that to those concepts, and they're killing it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's a niche, you know. I mean, there's people who buy trailer parks.
Right.
That's land. There's people who buy the individual lots in trailer parks in our group. There's people who subdivide property. They buy 40-acre properties and they cut it up into 5-acre properties. There's people who quiet title property like a machine. You know, there's a group, that small group that you know, I think, Jill, of brand new investors in Colorado that are, all they do is quiet title property.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to find a little niche, even in this little land niche. You got to find one that's even smaller than that, I think.
I agree.
I know. Actually, it's not that. I'm just softening for it because I'm talking to you.
Thank you. All right. Do you have any other top tips?
Yeah. And then the big picture concept on top of all of that is, once you've got those things together, you're using data, you're practicing it. I don't care if it takes 6 months. Learn to use data. Immerse yourself in people who are already doing it really well. And then, establish that little niche as you go along. It will take a couple of years at least. But while you're doing this, in the back of your mind, think about how you're going to capitalize on that. What's capitalize mean? Capitalize is one of those words that gets thrown around a lot, like scalable. Nobody really truly knows what it means unless you totally look it up and think about it. Capitalize means, in its simplest form, how are you going to make money on it? How are you going to change the value of what you're looking at? Not just mark it up and resell it, but change the value or the concept or add more value to it to capitalize on it, to make it worth more to somebody. And that's the deal, man. Those are my land investor tips.
Love it. Sometimes you make things better. Could it even just be having I don't know, a better presentation.
Yep.
Thank
that's
you.
That's a perfect 101 example of capitalizing on a piece of property. Sometimes it is as simple as this. You just bought it for way less than it's actually worth. Mm-hmm. I don't mean you have to put a house on it, but maybe your capitalization concept is that you send out 5,000 letters instead of 1,500 a month. You know, and then you blow off every single piece of property that comes in except the ones that are signed. And you have such a great system for getting signed offers to and returning that into cold card cash. Maybe that's the value you bring.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the value is you're a good partial splitting person. But you have to capitalize. You have to capitalize it in a way where you're creating some value for yourself, or else why the hell would you do it?
Exactly.
It's a nebulous concept, but it's one that I love. And we don't talk about it enough.
You know what? It sounds so big, but it's really not that big. You know what I mean? It sounds really big, but it really is simple.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Just figure out what you're good at and run with it.
Well said.
Thank you.
Join us another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information. That's me.
And inspiration and paraphrasing. That's me.
Do you just about anything you want?
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
And even though it's Monday, you are not alone in your real estate ambition. I know you have a packed schedule today, and so do I.
You both do. It's going to be crazy. So
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.